You would open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. We're going to begin reading today in verse 97, and there you'll find it under the Hebrew letter Mem, verse 97. Read down through verse 104. Hear now this word of the Lord. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would instruct us by your word. Lord, we are inundated with the wisdom of the world every day. It comes at us from every direction. And Lord, we need desperately to hear your voice. Lord, to understand better your word. To guide us, direct us, Lord, to lead us in the way we should go as your people. And Lord, we pray today that indeed we would hear your voice, Lord, that your spirit would work through the word, through the proclamation of the word, Lord, to build up your church, to edify your people. Lord, our desire today is that we might hear your voice and your voice only. And we pray these things in Christ's name for our sake. Amen. John Frame, in writing about wisdom, said that wisdom focuses on the element of know-how or skill. A wise man is one who knows how to do something. A wise man is one who has ability to do something, not just a factual knowledge of something, but also the ability to use that knowledge correctly. But more often, he says, wisdom has a moral, religious connotation, so that we define it as the skill of godly living. As James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." Frame continues, "We can see then how wisdom involves an understanding of God's lordship as well as obedience to the Lord. We can also see that wisdom is a gift of God's grace and has a Trinitarian origin. God the Father is the source of wisdom. In the Son are hidden all the treasures of wisdom, and the Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is communicated by the Word and by the Spirit." And we see in our text today our psalmist rejoicing in the wisdom of God that the Lord has imparted to him through the law. The psalmist cherished God's law because it was a reflection of the very character of God, of his God and Savior. And as he praises the benefits of the law, obedience to the law, as Frame said, is the culmination of an understanding of God's lordship, an expression of his love for God. You know, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But notice first the psalmist's exclamation of his love for God's law. Oh, he says, oh, how I love your law. This kind of affection for the law sounds strange to many in the church. It sounds even stranger to those in the world, but that's because they see God's law as a set of restrictions. Notice, if you will, the little piece I put in the bulletin there, bottom of the second page. We must show our Christianity to those around us to be not a code of restrictions, but a religion of great privileges. The psalmist recognizes that, and so he boasts of his love of the divine law. This is a source of wonder in him. It's also a source of wonder in all who know God's word. And considering the corruption of our nature, considering the temptations of this world, we have to wonder at the grace of God, which worked in our heart, which began working in us an incredible love for the law of God. However, please note what he says in proof of his love for the law. He meditated on it all day long. You know, when you love something, you think about it. If anyone boasts about their love for God's word and yet neglects the study of it and is always too busy with other things to spend time in the word, they reveal a certain hypocrisy. A true love of God's word will produce a continual meditation upon it. You know, our lives are filled with busyness. Our minds are occupied with our daily responsibilities. We're constantly assaulted with what C.S. Lewis called the cataract. He didn't mean a cataract in your eye. He means like a rushing mountain stream. He says we are assaulted with this rushing torrent of nonsense that pours forth from the microphone of the world. He's talking about radio, perhaps TV, but he knew nothing about the nonsense that pours out upon us, the cell phone, internet, social media, all these things pour on us, at us, and inundate us, actually threaten to wash us away every day with their nonsense. But if you regularly fill your mind with the Word of God, there will always be some of God's instruction, some of God's guidance, and some discernment interwoven with all the noise of the age. And there are benefits from this continual meditation on God's law. There are benefits from studying and thinking about the Word of God. And he lists these for us in verses 98, 99, and 100. First, he says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies. How is that? Well, he found in God's law enough to help him escape from the snares and the traps of his enemies and of his chief enemy, our chief enemy, Satan. You know, weighing the temptations and the tricks by which our enemies would entangle us, try to drag us down. But if you weigh these things against the truth of God's word, it'll keep you out of trouble if you will listen. You know, you can see things much clearer in the bright sunlight, like outside today. You can see the features and little details of things much clearer than you can in the dark. The one who sees things in the spiritual light of the Word of God sees more clearly than one who only looks at things through the dim, even we could say dark, view of this world system. This light of the Word, the clear commands of the Lord, are ever with them. He says he always has these commands with him. The wise man carries his Bible with him wherever he goes. If it's not in his hand, it's in his heart and in his head, because he's given himself to constantly meditating upon it, by keeping the commandments, by having living, acting according to the Word. We show ourselves to be a friend of God, and this is certainly wiser than those who make God their enemy. So he says he gets the victory over his enemies. He's wiser than his enemies. He also adds that he has more insight than all his teachers. When he says this, it's not to denigrate those who have instructed him, those from whom he had learned the Word of God. I believe he may mean that those who had been his teachers had laid such a good foundation, had built such a strong foundation on which he could build with the help of God's Word, that he became able to teach them. He gives God thanks for enabling him to surpass in proficiency those from whom he had learned the first elements of wisdom and knowledge. And it's no reflection on our teachers. It's really an honor to them. It's really a credit to their teaching to improve so as to excel them even. You know, I had to have some surgery several years back, and my doctor sent me to a surgeon here in Birmingham, and he said he's the best guy you can go to. He's probably the number two guy in the whole country. And I said, who's number one? He said, oh, it's some guy in Florida. So I went to the doctor and talked with him, and I said, well, my doctor said you were probably the number two guy in the whole country. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, well, who's number one? I said, I don't know. He said, some guy in Florida. He said, that was my student. I trained him. You know, so there you have an example from the world of medicine. And I looked at him, I said, yeah, the student has become the master, right? He said, I guess. You know, but that's what we're talking about here. You know, the teacher instructs, but the student takes that and builds on it. And in the psalmist's case here, he takes what he's learned and he meditates on God's statutes. He studies his Word. He commits himself to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, it will take you farther than any man's instruction can ever take you. If you devote yourself to the Word of God, if you study the Word of God, if you pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten you about these things, it will take you farther than any person can take you. But next, he says he has more understanding than the men who are older than him and more experienced than him. How could he do that? How can you acquire more wisdom and more discretion than those who've lived longer and seen and experienced much more than you have? Well, he affirms that whoever humbly submits himself to God's rule in life, whoever keeps his thoughts in subjection to the Word of God, whoever exercises himself diligently in meditating on the law, will thus derive wisdom sufficient to be able to make wise decisions about life, to make good choices about life choices, will be able to even give advice to others. Such a one will reflect in his choices and his words and his example the wisdom of God, which far surpasses the combined wisdom of all the wise, aged men of the whole world. The lesson here is that we should not seek wisdom elsewhere. It's good to get advice. It's good to listen to other people. But we should all weigh all that against God's word. And that, you know, all people, no matter how smart they might be, would be better served themselves by listening to the divine wisdom that God has revealed here in his word. Excuse me. When we say that, we're not talking about cold, analytical philosophizing like a lot of people do in regard to God's word. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. You don't have to be a scholar in ancient Near Eastern history to understand God's word. God's word, one of the principles of the word is perspicuity, see-throughableness. A six-year-old can understand the gospel. But there is so much here, you can be in it the rest of your life and never plumb the depths of what's here. So a real serious devotion to obeying and loving God's law, as the psalmist sets over this, you know, this headline over this whole section is, how I love your word, how I love your law. That should be our goal, and that will give us the discernment and the wisdom that we need. As we read all these things from Solomon's Proverbs and others earlier today about wisdom and how it will guide and help and direct your life. But there's another dimension to the benefits of meditating on focusing on, remembering and obeying God's precepts. It's summed up here in the text. There's a nice little inclusio. You know how I love those literary things. Look at verse 101 and verse 104. He says, I've kept myself from every evil path. I hate every evil path. You see that nice little parenthesis there? Do you want to avoid evil ways? Do you want to avoid falling into sin? Well, it's a hard job. The way is so slippery, it's easy to fall into sin. Our whole disposition is so prone to go astray in many ways. Many ways. It requires a constant effort on our part. And the psalmist says, I hate every evil path. I believe therein lies a big problem for the church and for many Christians in our day. There's no hatred of sin. There's no hatred of sin. Many sins are tolerated. Many things that God says in his word are evil, we just accept. We're on easy terms with sin. We seem to think we can walk a little way down the wrong path and everything will be okay. We think we can go down that path and that we can just turn around anytime we decide to. Sometimes that path is very slippery and you find yourself sliding further and further down the path. If we understand God's word better, we would see the danger in that. The way of sin is a false way. Satan deceived Eve with lies. It deceives. Sin deceives. It will ruin all who walk in it. It is the wrong way. Yet, as the scripture says, it seems right to man. Man in his natural state believes this is the right thing to do. What's needed is a constant adherence, a constant desire to obey the Word of God. We hear a lot of talk about love for the Word, a lot of talk about believing God's Word. But as I said earlier, love for the Word that does not produce time spent in the Word is not love. It's hypocrisy. You can profess your love to your husband, your wife, special whoever, and avoid them, never spend any time with them, run away from them every chance you get, and not very much love there, is there? What about believing the Word? If you believe the Word, it should produce fidelity to what the Word requires. It should produce a trustworthiness in following what God says. But if that doesn't happen, if the love for the Word doesn't produce time spent with the Word, if saying you believe the Word doesn't produce an obedience to the Word, it's all just words. It's just hypocrisy. We read that earlier also. But the psalmist, contrary to that, affirms in verse 102, he says he's not departed from God's laws. He had chosen no other rule for life than the Word of God. He had not willingly deviated from that rule. Therefore, if the Word of God is our guide, if we study and seek to grow in our understanding of the Word, if we meditate on it, if we desire to walk in obedience to it, there are many benefits, as the psalmist has laid out for us here. But we must meditate on, we must strive to live in obedience to the Word, because the law of God is really distasteful to our natural inclinations. We don't really, in our natural state, desire God's Word. We don't really desire to follow God's Word. There must be a determined struggle against our own nature in order to subdue the carnal affections which prevail within us. But the fruit of that struggle, the fruit of that determination to walk, to live in accord with God's law, notice what he says, it's sweet. The fruit of that is sweet. There is a spiritual taste, a sweetness of divine things that far exceeds, that far outweighs the sweet delights of the gratification of the flesh. That sweetness of divine things is found in God's Word. And in the knowledge that we have ordered our life in accord with what God says. We have kept ourselves from evil by being filled with the Word, by being prepared to meet the things of the world, the nonsense that flows into our lives every single day. But weigh those things against what God says. Weigh those things in the balance of God's truth. What else can a soul desire when it's tasted the sweetness of the Word? When it's seen the brightness of the glory of God in the face of Christ, as He has shined that light in our hearts through His glorious Word? What else could you want? Well, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your Word. Lord, it is indeed a treasure to us, and it's a great resource of untapped riches that lies at our disposal. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to overcome all the things that the world throws at us. We're all very busy. Lord, our minds are pulled this way and that. But Lord, we pray that you would indeed create in us daily a new love, a new desire to hear your voice. Lord, to open up this treasure of the Word and withdraw from that account that never runs dry. The strength we need, the encouragement we need, the guidance we need, the help we need each day. And Lord, contained in there is the marvelous, wonderful message of salvation, the love that you had for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for our sins. He came, left heaven, and humbled himself, became like us in every way except for sin, that he might be the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sin. That's right there in the Word, that wondrous story, the wonder of your love for sinners revealed there. Lord, help us to draw from that well, refreshing we need each day. Each day is filled with its own trouble. But Lord, your Word stands above that to encourage, strengthen, build us up in the most holy faith. Lord, help us to do that, we pray. And be more prepared as your people and your church to go into the world and share this good news with others. And Lord, we pray as we do that, that it will bring glory and honor to you, our great God and King. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.